Good morning, and I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name. It's of him that we sang. I was blessed so much by our singing this morning and our Bible study in Sunday school. Thanks to each one of you who took your part to make this a blessing. In our decree booklet, immediately after our section on our statement of faith and belief, we have a section called Christian Virtues. And we agreed as a ministry to preach through these virtues for our own exhortation, practical teaching for the church. And so this morning's subject that's entitled to me is love and compassion. Now, a virtue is something that's defined by moral excellence or a commendable quality or trait. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1:5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And so virtue is a quality, morality that we have that makes us a different people. It changes us. It's the work of God in our hearts, but it's an outworking of that. It's a very practical thing. And the first one we looked at was devotional life. And this morning's message is love and compassion. I'll read to you just a few. It's a short statement that we have in our book. There's a couple of verses that it starts out with. John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Romans 13:9-10, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Throughout the New Testament, and especially in Jesus' teaching, we discover an emphasis of loving our fellow men. We have love when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5:5, and it will be demonstrated in outward expressions. These should include rendering assistance as may be required in times of distress or want, remembering those who labor among us and are over us in the Lord, and doing good unto all men. As believers exercise Christian charity, they will be able to admonish one another without critical and judgmental attitudes, and will exercise patient forgiveness towards all men, love and compassion. And then there's a number of references that are included in this section as well. So this morning we want to think about love and compassion. What does it mean? How does it play out? What should it look like in my life for this first week of September 2018? Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I want to take a text from there and be inspired by some verses from that portion first of all. Romans 5, and if you'll notice verse 5, in fact I already read it, but it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed." Why? "Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." Love. Love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. What is love? This morning I don't plan to spend the sermon talking just specifically about love and the different ways that love can be described. But generally, as you look in the dictionary, it's going to tell you something like this. Love is an intense feeling of deep affection. It's going to also say a person or thing that one loves. And this verse here, verse 5 of chapter 5, is telling us about God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's read the first couple of verses before that. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As we go into this study of love, the first point that I have is entitled Motivations of Love. And I read these verses to help us this morning to just reestablish, reaffirm in our minds, to clear the clutter of our own minds about the basis of love. What is it that inspires us? What is the originator of love? The Bible tells us that God is love. And here these verses are telling us, here is how God manifested this love to us. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's revealed and opened in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And God commended his love to us even while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. And so we see this love of God. And for us this morning, that is a motivation. We're thinking about love and compassion. We're thinking about practical ways in which love is going to flow from us. Why? How? What's the inspiration of love? And this morning I would like us to be reminded of the fact that God is the inspiration of love from us. He is love. He is the love that indwells us. As Christians, we should have a unique fountain of love within our hearts. Love is not only confined to the Christian. We can go to the person down the street here who denies the existence of God and yet has love for someone. And so we understand that love is an emotion and feeling that God has given, whether they recognize it or not, that God has given to us. Some animals are able to express some kinds of love. But much of God's creation cannot. And so I'm thinking about, just moving right in on this subject of love, thinking about motivations of love. And this morning, as believers, as disciples of Christ, the love that God has shed abroad in our hearts is a great motivation for love. 1 John 4:11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." So there's something between a command. Well, it is a command. But it's also tying it to the fact that, beloved, if God has loved us, well, has he? Is that something that you've experienced? It's asking that question at the very least. This morning, maybe I'll just say it this way. I have been loved, so I will risk loving too. I will risk loving too. God has loved me. He has loved me. He had no reason to love me. I wasn't some kind of a package that God just said, "Oh, right there it is." I mean, that's just the humanity I created. But my sins and my need made me very undesirable before holy God. I know that for a fact. I believe that. And so God commended his love to us. God, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So I will risk loving too. A fountain of love wells up from a heart who has and is receiving and experiencing the love of God. There is no replacement for this. See, this makes Christian love. This makes a love and compassion that this virtue is talking about unique to the believer, because it is attached to it. It's an outflowing of the love of God. And that's what Jesus, as he referred back to Isaiah there, as he said, out of your belly, out of your being will flow rivers of living water. It is the love of God that comes up from us and reaches out to others. There's no replacement for this. So that's a motivation for love. This morning, if you and I are having trouble with loving others, we need to stop and step back a little bit and think about the love that God has for me. what he has done for me, the love that's being shed abroad in my home. And if it's not, what needs to be done to restore that? Why is this cut short? Why am I having trouble with loving others? Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So I ask you this morning, I ask myself, I ask us this morning, are we being refreshed daily in God's love for us? The second point under motivations for love I have is this. We are commanded to love. Not only do we have this example, inspiration, source of love, but we are commanded. And I'll go to 1 Peter 4:8 for that and 9. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourself, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And also Romans 13:9, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a command. God expects us to go forward in our relationships here, in our relationships at home, and in our relationships out the door, off to work, off to the store, off to those relationships, to do so in love. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. I ask this question, isn't true love organic? Can love be forced? We're commanded to love here. And so that I feel like that question needs to be asked. But these questions are telling us to bring our emotions and to bring our feelings into alignment with God's word. And so there is a moment for us to stop and to ponder the verses that I've looked at already in motivations for love and understanding God's choice to love me. And out from that, I also recognize that there are times when I need to choose to love. It's a choice. It's a command. So I'm going to follow through with it. I'm going to put my heart into that. And perhaps my feelings will connect at just a little later date. And so we make those kinds of choices. And that's okay. We're talking about virtue being added to faith, morality being added to what I believe. And those become very actual and real things for us. Another point that I have under motivations for love. We have experienced love from others. We have been shown an example. Motivations for love. This morning, all of us, I believe we can say that, all of us have experienced at least one place where we knew true love. And some of us have experienced love in much abundance in our lives. But love is something that we've experienced from others. We have felt it. We have received it. And that's a motivation for love. And because of that example, we go forward and share that with others. We go forward and show it to others. So our father and mother, siblings, teachers, church family, spouse. This love that I'm talking about, especially as you think of it on those levels, family, mother, siblings, teachers, church, family, spouse, those people who are close to you. This love is very practical. It's very near to us. And we receive much from it. And so we reciprocate. And we share love as well. It's a motivation for love. Love and compassion. I want to think about some reasons that love is quenched. Now, maybe just look at it from a little different perspective. Reasons love is quenched. I've already alluded to some of this, and it's hard to speak about the positive without touching on the negative at all, so there's some overlap. But the one point I want to make, first of all, is that a reason that love is quenched is because we've grown distant and cold from God, the source of true love. And so because of that, the light of love in our eyes and in our hearts has flamed out. Have you ever bumped into someone and they just were cold and hard? I mean, there was just like a death in their eyes. And it stood out to you. And then you encountered someone who had this spirit of love and openness and light about them. And that stood out to you. those are the differences that we're talking about here. And this love, love can be quenched in many ways. And so when the rough edges of life presents itself, the rough edges of life presents itself to us, and it's the person that pulls out in front of you and goes really slow, so you catch the next green light, just the next red light, just. Or the person that's difficult at work, or the needy person in that line in front of us who fumbles around with two and three different cards and seems to be having a lot of difficulty. We lose our ability to show love, to respond in love, to look for opportunities to show love and respect for humanity. And this happens because we've grown cold towards God. Many times. I recognize that there's humanity. We're in the flesh. We know what it's like to be impatient and those kinds of things. But by and large, when we have trouble accepting other people around us, it's because we've drawn back and the love of God isn't lit too bright in our own hearts. And we become very focused on others, on ourselves. And I'll look at that maybe in just a moment. And so when that happens in our lives, we lose our ability to show love, to respond in love. And not only beyond that, it's not just to respond when we have the opportunity, but to look for opportunities to show love. How well are you and I doing with that? To show love, to show respect for humanity, how often do we look for opportunities? Reasons love is quenched. Another reason is we have been hurt in our love for others. Others have left us down. They have come up short. This can be very real. Hearts can become embittered because of it. Joy is lost because of it. And love grows cold in an angry heart. Reasons that love is quenched. Reasons that we just don't carry out this virtue of love and compassion that God wants us to. We need to be very careful with this. We've been loved, so we're going to risk loving too. There's a reason why I make that statement. All of us know something about it. You know, to be a hermit is actually a very selfish thing, if there is such a thing as a hermit anymore, because you draw away from everybody who could bless you, but also who could hurt you. And so relationships are quite dangerous. They're double-edged. And the closest relationships bring us the most blessing and, yes, at times the most hurt. And so there they are. And so love can be quenched by that if we don't deal with that properly, if we don't work through those things. But this morning we are called to enter into them, just as God chose to enter into us. Into relationship with us. God chose to get real close to us for, I guess, all of the blessing that he receives from it. And at the same time, there is a hurt, I believe, that God also receives by how we relate and respond to his love. Another way in which another reason love is quenched is because, and maybe this is a central one, the big me takes over. The big me takes over. And, well, the coffee flavor wasn't right, or... yeah. I got up 15 minutes late. Or my back's hurting. I have a cold. I don't feel well. And so my day's just not going to be good. And the virtue of love and compassion just out the door. And it's not a part of my life today. It's not a part of who I am. We focus on the love that others have shown or not shown to us. And we forget that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so this is a reason that love is quenched many times. It's because we become so focused on ourselves. And this will be a point we definitely need to look at in the next section of compassion. But we become so focused on ourselves. And look, brothers and sisters, I don't know about your life, but I've got some moments in my life where it just feels like you teeter just on that edge. It just is too much. That extra straw really did come really close to breaking the camel's back. And so you go, not only do you relate to your family that way, and maybe you just don't, maybe there's just a numbness, but you go out the door, you go into life, and it's sort of survival mode. And we can't change all of the circumstances of our life. We live in this world. We live in the flesh. We live in difficulty. We live in a world of failure and brokenness. But add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith this quality, this moral excellence of love and compassion. And so God calls us by his love to rise up above that, to go out with love in our hearts and to show that to others. I ask us this morning, what will cause us to make that split decision to stop and help someone on the side of the road or in the line at the grocery store? What will cause us to make that split decision? Many times they are. And my wife tells a story. She was at a number of years ago, she was at a grocery store. She was standing there, the lady right in front of her, was not able to pay her bill. She did not have the money needed for it. And as my wife was processing that, the next lady behind her stepped right forward and said, "There's the money." Wow. Just stunned her. Now, my wife is a loving and compassionate person, but somebody took the situation and translated it into action immediately. And so many times, love and compassion happen that way. They get translated, not always. They don't always need to be that big. But I have seen that. What will cause us? I mean, I don't know if it's like you, but it's really hard for me to take my foot off the gas and go on the brake to do those kind of things and suddenly decide to help somebody in need. Now, I have turned around a time or two and gone back. But I don't know. We have some room to grow in this area of love. The big me takes over. I think it's a central reason. There could be many more reasons why reasons that love is quenched. But let's move on to compassion. The second part of our message this morning is compassion, love and compassion, the virtue of compassion. What is compassion? Well, it's sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others, to have pity and sympathy. Or this word empathy is a good word. Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings, of others. Compassion, what is it? What does it look like? As I was pondering this message and thinking about just some examples of that, I have at least one or two personal ones, and I'll start with this one. Earlier this week, I came home from work, and I walked into the kitchen, and I noticed that my youngest was sitting on a chair right by the stove, just off to the side. It's where my wife was working. He was sitting there, and I looked at him, and after I kissed the cook, I asked, what's going on here? We need to talk. And the head is down on the youngest one. Shoulders are slumped. And there's some crying going on. And so we go around the corner. Some of the other children had been down at the road because of a neighbor, and this young man decided it was a good time to explore the road. Out on the road, running in circles. Once you go into it, we're going to go all the way, you know. And something needs to be done. Well, the young man's greatest fear was being realized because he was very concerned about Dad coming home and finding out about it. And which is a good thing. But I took the little boy. He was sort of all sweated up, hot from his excursions outside. Took him around into another room. And the spanking was needed. But do you know what? Dad just had a hard time laying it on very hard. And it just sort of popped more than it hurt. Because there was evidence of great sorrow and repentance, and Dad had already established a good fear, a godly fear, I guess, of punishment. And we ended up getting that accomplished and talking about it. But my point is, as I was thinking about moments of compassion, I realized that that was one. That there was genuine, it was just a definition of compassion to me. I could think through that one. I can think of a time in my life when I went to ministry. As a young married man with a particular sin, a bondage that I thought I was free from and was a free man from. It was a particular sin of my youth, and suddenly it came up before me. I fell into it, and I realized that I was a very susceptible person to not only fail in that area again, but fail in some greater area. It just shocked me. And I went to my ministry. We talked about it. We cleared that. I had cleared that before God, my wife, the ministry. And the ministry said, you know, this doesn't meet the... I was willing for them to take that wherever they needed to go with it. But they said, we consider this matter cleared here in this circle. God bless you. Go forward in victory. And what I saw in those men was compassion. I don't know what all your stories of compassion are that you've experienced or that you've given. I had a couple different stories that were floating through my mind. I didn't make note to them, and they're not coming back to me. They were sort of bits and pieces, because I remember distinctly stopping to help a person and realized that this lady was so high on drugs that the most compassionate thing I could do for her was to call 911 and to stay with her as she stumbled up along the side of the road so that she didn't get hit. And another time, it was spending an hour in a parking lot using tolls out of my truck to help two ladies and a young man try to fix a car that I didn't think could be fixed. But anyway, those are the kind of things that we have opportunities to show compassion, sympathy, pity, concern for the sufferings, the misfortunes of others. You have accounts, I know you do. What are some helps to compassion? What are some helps to compassion? Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Now, Jesus had been with the people. He had been with lots of people. He had been with lots of people every day. And Jesus got on a ship to leave, to go to another part of the country, to just sort of break free, and the people ran. They traveled, they ran. They met him there when he came off that ship. And Jesus, as he looked upon them, he was moved with compassion. We started at the same place we started in our point of love. Jesus is the example of compassion. He is the one. And it says here, he was moved with compassion. This word moved with compassion, that was his, it means his bowels yearned. Anyone ever feel that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it hits you right here in the stomach and it just comes up in you. It's almost like there's, in fact, it can affect how you feel physically. Your bowels yearned. And I hope that you know something about that. I hope that you do. And he was touched by what he saw, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And Matthew 14:14 of the same passage says that he was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And he walked among them, and he touched them, and he healed them. Helps to compassion. Jesus is the compassionate one. He is the compassionate one. He showed that by his life. He showed it by his actions, by his words, and all that he did, and finally laying down his life. What are some other helps to compassion? Matthew 7, 1 through 5 talks to us. We're not going to turn there, but it talks about laying down our self-righteousness and judging of others. Jesus tells us there, judge not that you be not judged. Be careful with that critical spirit. See, now, I know we need to balance all of that with truth, and Jesus presented truth, and he stood up against the hypocrisy and so on. But Jesus in his life was a compassionate man. We need to be careful with our spirit of judgment. And so, when I walk in the sheets and I stand there in that line waiting to pay, and that man up there in front of me appears to be laying out his last 20 for 2 energy drinks and a pack of smokes. And I just, wow. Or that including, the vice of gambling or whatever it might be, the lottery, and so there it is. And I go, Or you see that young man or lady who looks like, they've got that tremor in their hand. They've got that color of skin. They have those tattoos that you can see. And there they are. And you go, And so we begin. Our heart rejects them. It's easy to do that, to cast judgment. And maybe all of the facts that I tallied are correct. But the point is, our heart should hurt for them. See, it should yearn. And I asked you this morning, does it touch you that way ever? At least a few times. Maybe it touches you like that many times. I think that's right. I think it is. And I thank God for that. I'm often, in fact, one of the ways that it's helpful for me to deal with the ungodliness of our society is to develop and cultivate compassion for them. And so the lady that really just does not have enough clothes on, period, is being driven to do what she's doing for some reason. And so compassion can come up in our hearts, and that is what I think God would have us do. How often does our heart just simply hurt for others? You mentioned the family who lost their son in suicide this morning. I hope that touched our hearts. There was a man at work who died on our road this week. Maybe it's helpful. Maybe it makes a difference if death has come close and touched your family. But that touched me. There is most likely a wife and children who are grieving, and that place is one of pain to them. And so, it should within us bring up compassion in our hearts. Maybe I'll just conclude this thought by saying this: less contempt, more compassion. I believe, is what Jesus would ask of us, God would ask of us, the virtue of compassion. Wow. Recognize when others have shown us, so here's another help to compassion. Recognize when others have shown compassion on us. I have received compassion numerous times, many times. In fact, in ways that have shocked me. And sometimes from the most unlikely people. So we need to recognize that. Let's receive that and understand that that's what it was. Sometimes we're like, oh, okay, well, thanks. Where'd that come from? Whatever. Well, I guess I needed it. And all. Wait a minute. It was somebody showing compassion. And so that should touch our lives and be a motivation for us, a help to compassion in my own life, and so on. Jude 1:22, the next one. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And so we desire to make a difference in the lives of others, or do we? Or do we not? Does it matter to us? And of some have compassion, making a difference. And so by our compassion, we make a difference for some. It takes the desire to make a difference in lives will give us a purpose, a resolve, a boldness, because it takes courage to show compassion, to put yourself out there like that. It takes courage to look the fool to others, to other less compassionate souls looking on. That, for me, takes courage. I don't know about you, but I think about it. What do others think about it? Oh, this guy's getting suckered. Well, maybe he's just showing compassion. Maybe he is. Some hindrances to compassion is losing sight of the love and compassion of God upon us. Again, sort of the positive and the negative, but losing sight of God's love and compassion is a great hindrance for compassion in my life. 1 John 3:17, but whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And so that verse and others bring with it many troubling questions about how do we show compassion. Hindrances to compassion is a focus upon myself and our needs. In that same account there in Mark 6, where Jesus was serving all of these people, the disciples finally came to him and said, look, Jesus, they didn't say, look, I'm adding that word, so let me take that away. They said, Jesus, why don't you just send these people away? It's close to the end of the day. They need to get some food. Tell them to go. And Jesus said, well, we can't do that. See, we can't just send them off without anything to eat. Let's answer this need here. And so focus again upon myself and my needs. The disciples wanted some space, some free time. Let's be finished already. And so many times that's who we are. That is one of a hindrance to compassion. I think we need to be real with. We become lost in the soup of our own struggle and need. Why is it, I ask this question, that many times those who have the least oftentimes respond the most generously? Is it because they are recipients of compassion more often? And because of it, they tend to reciprocate more compassionately. See, it is another hindrance that we have, and that is our self-sufficiency has created the buffer zones around us through which compassion doesn't need to penetrate very often. Because we've got our space cut out. And it is a challenge that we have. That's another hindrance to compassion. Another hindrance to compassion is government programs that have stifled grassroots generosity. And so, by and large, we sort of think, well, most everybody's sort of taken care of. I mean, I would probably give, but then there's this program, and there's that program, and there's that program. Well, there's always space for compassion. But we do recognize that that has been some of a hindrance for us and a challenge, something to think about. One other one I want to notice here yet as a hindrance for compassion, that is our technology. And so our technology disconnects us from each other. And so rather than striking up a conversation with the man next to you in the public transit that we use, well, we don't see. Again, we don't rub shoulders that closely with many different people all the time. But my point is, there's opportunities. We'll pull out the phone and, here we are, we're in line, so, you know, How many feet of screen scrolling happens on average every day? And so there we are, We're doing our thing, he's doing our thing, and guess what? There isn't any compassion in any of it. It's just sort of become like machines bumping around. And so this is a challenge that we face. Technology disconnects us from each other. We need to put down our phones, and we need to set aside the digital relationships for ones that are before us in the flesh. And so it'll help us, I think, to be a more compassionate people. True love, in closing, just a few pieces here. True love and compassion will at times direct us to do hard things, to point out facts and realities that loved ones must face. This isn't all just mushy, feel-good stuff. But it is a compassionate response, for instance, caused me to dial that number, which most likely ended with the lady behind bars within a few hours. And so there's different ways in which that plays out in our lives, among each other. And so may God help us to be people who are showing true love and compassion, even in those times. First John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I just wanted to come back sort of in closing on that note. God is love. The Bible tells us that. God is love. And I don't know how much weight you can give to any of the accounts of people who have encountered God and or encounter Jesus in near-death experiences. I don't spend much time reading those things. I have some. But there is a fairly constant that they give, and that is the light and love that is communicated to them in those times. God is love. God is love. And that is what moves us and inspires us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That changed everything. And our God is love. I could not help but go and look at the lyrics of that old hymn. It's a little unclear who penned it, because it wasn't penned by just one man, because its lines are so lofty. They are, in many ways, they just are a common understanding of God and who he is. And that song is The Love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his Son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we think the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. It's one of the reasons why it's good for us to step outside into God's creation and to consider who he is. Step outside there at night. Invariably, if it's nighttime, that's what I'll do. I'll step out of that vehicle, or I'll step outside the house door, or I'll step outside somewhere in the nighttime when I'm studying a message, and I'll just take a look at the heavens, and it just takes you up, takes you out, takes you beyond. Where every man is scribed by trade. And so, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever more endure the saints and angels' song. God help us with this virtue of love and compassion this week. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we fall down here before you this morning. We bow our knee, we bow our hearts, We thank you, O God, for your love, your mercy, your compassion to us. O God, we're unworthy creatures. We're needy creatures, and we thank you again for your patience with us and your long-suffering. And I pray, O God, that you would help us as we go, as we mingle here today, and as we go out onto these streets, and as we go out into our lives and into our activities, help us, O God, to be a people of love and compassion. Help us to be real, to be genuine. Help us to be simply communicating to others your love for us that we've experienced. I pray you'd help us to be a compassionate people. Help us, O God, not to be careless with sin or to be overlooking of that, but help us to love the sinner and not the sin. Help us to communicate that. Lord, I pray for a greater willingness on my own part to be able to set the schedule aside, to put the brakes on, to stop for a moment, to help where I can, to seize the opportunities, to see the moments. Help us, O God, to see them, each one of us, make a difference for you and your kingdom today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.